Okay, good evening. This week's parasha is Parashas Bo. And what we've been trying to do is kind of go through the psukim and just learn the rashis together. And what often happens when you learn the rashis is that you see some interesting things that you didn't notice beforehand. So, page 340-341, Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro, bo el Paro, because Hashem says, I harden Paro's hearts, ve'eslev avodav, the hearts of his servants, lema'an shisi oso sa'ela bekirbo, so that I can put these signs in him. Now, this is a little difficult, because Hashem is saying to Moshe, go to Paro, because I harden Paro's heart. That doesn't connect, no? It doesn't connect. Now, it could be that Hashem is telling Moshe, go to Paro, despite the fact that I harden Paro's heart. But to go to Paro because I hardened his heart doesn't really make sense. Does that question resonate with you?
A little bit, yes.
A little bit, right? So why is Moshe going to Paro? Because the heart is hardened. And why did Hashem harden Paro's heart? So the Torah tells us that there are two reasons why Paro's heart was hardened. And then we'll look in Rashi and we'll see what Rashi is adding. Reason one, l'man shisi also say ela bekirbo. So that I do miracles, basically. No? Mm-hmm. Meaning, had Paro's heart not been hardened, so there would have been fewer miracles. I think that's a fair read of the pasuk. Reason two, lema'an tisaper ba'ozne bincha uven bincha, es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim be'esos osay asher samti b'm vidatem ki ani Hashem. Reason two is that you can tell the story. Right? So that you can tell the story to your children, your grandchildren. Es asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim. We will have to translate those words. Es asher hisalalti. How does Aritz Kun translate it? What? I mocked the Mitzrayim and the signs I put them, and you should know that I am Hashem.
So it does point out, it does say that you were saying that there's two reasons.
So is it two?
Right. But then part of the second reason, Uloman, is also
Uloman. Right, so there are two things. I think one is for Hashem to do miracles. Two, so that you can tell the story.
Is it about the miracles that he's going to be telling the future generations, or about the fact that he hardened Paro's heart?
So, apparently, you're not going to tell the future generations that Hashem hardened Paro's heart, right? But you will tell them about the miracles, right? But not only the miracles, you also tell them, Asher hisalalti b'mitzrayim, whatever that means, and that's where we will pause and try to figure out what's going on. Okay? So, a few points. At the very end of Va'era, so at the Makkah of Barad, Paro, for the first time, sees the truth. It's Perek Tes Pasuk Chav Zayin. Paro calls Moshe and Aharon, and he says, Chotosi hapam, Hashem atzadik vaniva ami harshayim. Right? He says, now I'm wrong. Davin Hashem, right? I'm going to send you out, etc. And Moshe says, I'll davin when I leave the city, right? And then the Torah says at the very end, that Paro sees that the Barad stopped, so he hardens his heart, and he doesn't send the Jews out. So, Barad is a Makkah, where Paro is pretty close, for the first time, to really sending them free, and then it stops. So you get the impression that Hashem is now telling Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Paro hardened his heart, and even though you would think that there's no purpose in the further Makos, but you're making a mistake. Because the Makos, Rabbi Schneidman actually spoke about this a little bit at Chalashuddas, The Makos in Bo are different than the Makos in Va'ira. Right? Bo is the first seven. Va'ira is?
Top
seven. What? Va'ira, thank you. I'm backwards. Thank you. Va'ira is the first seven. Bo is Arbe Choshech Makos Bechoros. Now, Arbe Choshech Makos Bechoros have a different role than the first seven. The role of these seven is no longer to prove anything to Paro. You're not going to prove anything. Because Paro's heart is hardened. But there is something that can be done, and I'd argue that's more to prove to Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. The last Makos, Arba Choshech Makos Bechoros, are for us, not for them. Paro is gone. No? Paro is irredeemable. But there is a point for us. The point for us is to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the point for us now, what does that mean to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu? To recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochol, and Hashem can do miracles when nothing will be accomplished other than proving how kivyochol, how strong Hashem is. Right? So it is for us to recognize Hashem. That is what Bo is about. So far, so good? Mm-hmm. And to tell that story to our children about how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. You see, Klal Yisrael believed that there's going to be a redemption because they knew Hashem, so to speak, from stories of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But the difference between seeing the power of God yourself and all the other things until now didn't really prove how great God was, because that was, as we'd say, tachlis-oriented. You only prove how Hashem is now doing this to prove that God is there so that people recognize how strong God is.
But at this inflection point, there's no difference in the nature of the Makos. Because some people want to say that these last few Makos are different.
So I think there is a slight difference in the nature of Makos. I'm not sure what to make of this, but this is what I've been thinking about. The last three Makos are all Makos of darkness. Arbe, the Torah says that they covered the entire land. Choshech is darkness. I think that one's pretty obvious. Makos Bechoros is at midnight. There is a difference between Makos of light, daytime Makos, that's Parshas Va'ira, and nighttime Makos, or darkness Makos, that's Parshas Bo.
We have the Chisev as Ena Aretz, right?
That's Arbe.
Oh, that's Arbe, right.
Right, Bechisos in Aretz is Arbe. That's Parshas Bo. That's Pasuk Hey. Barad is a daytime Makos.
Well, also had a fire, so it's nice. You still see.
Okay, right. That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually. But the point is, the Makos in Bo are nighttime Makos. Well, I would argue homiletically, if I would be a preacher, I would say that the Makos of Bo are to show that in a world of darkness, God exists.
I mean, I think the point that you're driving at is that the first seven Makos, right, until Paro is like at the point where there's no point, it's God is very, I'll call it, is seen as a little bit more utilitarian.
Nachon.
Right. Right. And
the point is we're punishing them so that maybe they'll free the Jews.
Right.
But now it's over. Right? Right. He's not going to free the Jews. So we're punishing to show how great God is. That's the Yesod. I think that now.
Well, maybe that's that, and that's the telling over the story. Is the telling over is the greatness of God.
You're telling exactly. So, what we have to tell, and you tell over a story because you experienced something, you saw it, and that's what you retell, right? If it's just goal oriented, it's not as much of a story. By the way, the mitzvah of Leil HaSeder, the mitzvah of Haggadah, to tell a story, the first time you really see storytelling is right here, by Arbe. Okay, now we're ready to learn a little bit of Rashi. Good? Zok Rashi. So the first Rashi says, Bo al Paro v'hisribo, go to Paro and warn him. By the way, The Torah does not say that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm going to bring a Makkah of Arba. And, right, that's what you'd expect. That's what usually happens. God says, I will bring the Makkah. Moshe goes to Paro and says, dear Pharaoh, I will bring the following plague. Over here, God says, just go to Paro so that you realize how great I am. And then Moshe and Aaron go to Paro and they say, right, if you don't send him out, then there's going to be Arba. God never tells Moshe that there's going to be Arba. No? So Rashi is sensitive to this point. And Rashi says, go to Paro v'hisrabo, meaning warn him about this Makkah. It's all, and the Ramban also notes this. Right? What Rashi and the Ramban are both saying over here is, obviously Hashem told Moshe there's going to be Arba, and just for some reason the Torah doesn't spell it all out. Right? I think that's all included in Rashi's words for Hisribo. Okay, next. She sees Sumi Sha'ashis Ani. I will place. You could have understood the word she see. As a basis, a background, what's it called? The base of a building.
Foundation.
Right? Right? The foundation. So the Pasuk writes, I'm totally blanking. There's a Pasuk that speaks about kol something shato tachas raglov, right? What's that pasuk say? Shato tachas raglov. It's almost like everything is under the feet. That's like the basis. So it could have been understood that way. Rashi is saying, don't understand the word that way. Okay, that's not so exciting. I want to talk about this next Rashi. Laman tisaper. Now this Rashi, by the way, does not exist in the original Ksav Yad of Rashi. Laman tisaper betora. I have no idea what this Rashi means. Do you have that Rashi, by the way?
No,
oh, you don't have it?
No.
Okay, so I have it over here. I have no idea what this Rashi means. Lamantis Aper, so Rashi in this version says, it's written in the Torah to tell the future generations. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. Next Rashi. His alauti. So Rashi says, Sachakti, I played. Kimoki his alautbi. That's a pasuk by Bilam.
The article on the bottom has Ulaman Tisaper, but not in the Hebrew.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. His alauti is sachakti, I played. So you should tell, right, the English translation as I mocked Mitzrayim. He his alautbi, right, that's the pasuk by Bilam had a donkey who doesn't want to move. And the donkey says, why are you hitting me? Right? And Bilam says, because you're mocking me. So Rashi says that's the same word. Halok asher hisaleo bahem ha'amor b'mitzrayim.
Today's daf yomi.
Today's daf yomi, right. The Ribbono shel Olam plays.
Right.
Right? The Ribbono shel Olam plays. Now, mocking, though, is a little different than playing.
Toying.
It's toying. You see, today's Daf Yomi, Rav Soloveitchik, on the Gemara in today's Daf Yomi speaks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends a few hours a day playing with the Levyasin. No?
Yeah.
God plays.
Levyasin Lasachik.
Right? So what exactly that means, I don't know. Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha once where he said that the pshat is that we shouldn't be too serious. You have to find some time in your life to have a good time. Right? The way Rav Schachter says that, Orthodox Jews are just so serious. Why can't you have a good time? What's wrong with having fun? And the Gemara over there says that the Ribbono shel Olam himself spends a few hours a day playing. Rav Soloveitchik uses this in his Hesped for Moshe Shatzkus. Moshe Shatzkus was a Gaon Olam. He's one of the Rashi Yeshiva by SNYU. And Moshe Shatzkus apparently had this way of seeing when the Rav was like very bothered by something. You could see it on the Rav's face. And he would start kibitzing. He'd start telling him jokes. And Rav Soloveitchik really appreciated that. Like in Ner Yisrael, you should know, some of the Rebbeim are very serious. But whenever you see Rabbi Friend and Reb Shragi, talk to each other. They have a good time. No? The other Rebbeim don't know how to have fun as much.
They said, Shragi told me that they consider them each other best friends because both of their wives don't find them funny, but they find each other hilarious.
That's great.
But the point is, I think it's a very good lesson for the Talmidim and Yeshiva to see that the Rebbeim have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And the Rebbeim can joke around with each other.
Sure.
Right? But yeah, I don't...
Faulkner calls God one of the short stories of the cosmic joker.
Right.
But he means it in the sense of toying with mankind. Not with everybody else.
So, I think his alauti in the Rashi means A, that Hashem plays, but B, Hashem is playing in a mocking sort of way. Mocking means like this. You don't make fun of somebody. Well, you shouldn't make fun of people in general. But if you make fun of somebody, you make fun of somebody who should have certain characteristics and doesn't. No?
Right.
You don't make fun of somebody, oh, you do this well, and you should do more. That's not something you make fun of someone. You make fun of someone that you don't have certain characteristics that you'd expect. Bilam is saying about his donkey, Kis Alautbi, that I'm Bilam, I'm supposed to be Yodea Das Elyon, and I don't know nothing, I don't even know my donkey. And you donkey, right, you are the pircha, you're the question on who I am. So his Alauti for Mitzrayim, the mocking is that you should be in control, you are supposed to be the breadbasket of the entire region, and we are destroying whatever you have. All the things that you are supposed to have are being destroyed. Right? That's the mocking of Mitzrayim. And then Rashi comments, I apologize for going so slow in this Rashi, but I have something to say. Ve'eno lashon po'el uma'alalim. So Rashi, it's not an action of po'el uma'alalim, which just means to do stuff. She'im kein ha'yolicht of olauti, kemo v'olel lamo, kasher olauta. That's a pasuk in the first pack of Eicha, asher olal li. Right? Olal could mean to do. Says Rashi, olal in the binyan kal is to do. But his alauti means to mock. It does not mean to do.
But
usually the terms should be related. Zokt Rashi, the terms here are not related at all. And Rashi is pulling a fast one on us because he's arguing on the Targum Unklus. Look at Unklus. Bidil de tishtae kadam baruch ubarbaruch, that you should tell over in front of your sons and your grandsons, yas nisin da avadis b'mitzrayim, the miracles that I did, v'yas asvasai, and the signs de shavisi b'hon, v'tid'un arayano Hashem, and you should know. In other words, Unklus is just translating that I did, which is the perish that Rashi is rejecting. Right? So far so good? Now, what Rashi is doing, I think, is making Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim a more exciting thing. It's not just factual telling over what happened, what God did, but it's doing much more. Zakt Rashi is also speaking about how Hashem mocked Mitzrayim. I saw that they say from Reb Velvel Soloveitchik, Reb Velvel understood that Hashem is mocking Mitzrayim in the sense of, remember, Arba comes right after Barad. The Torah, the Mach of Barad, says that Hachito v'akuseme hapishta v'asaora nukasa ki asaora ove v'apishta giv'ol. Right? That the flax and the barley was destroyed, but the wheat and the kusemes, which is probably spelt, maybe, was not destroyed because they were too young, right? In other words, those plants that already grew and were tight, were tall and strong, they were destroyed by Barad. The other plants that were weaker were not destroyed. Now, when you think about it, It doesn't make very much sense. If Barad is hail that comes down with fire inside it, it should destroy even those plants that are younger and weaker.
It would just bend the
bar. But even if they bend, but there's fire. They'll catch on fire. They'll be burned down.
It's still moist.
Huh?
It's still moist.
Maybe it's still moist, so it couldn't. But anything, all of these plants are still attached to the ground. They're still moist enough, right, that even the trees, right? They're still moist, but the bird is destroying them. So, Al Pigrush, some say that the Mak of Bara teaches you that you have to be flexible. If you're bendable, if you can, so then you'll survive. But if you're tough, at like a cedar tree, and you'll never bend, so you won't make it. I think that's also a good drasha for a rabbi to give, whatever it means. Right? But this could be the pshat that Kadosh Baruch Hu was playing with the Mitzrim. Meaning, God is telling the Mitzrim, you know what? Oh, you think I'm saving your plans. But Arba is going to come, and Arba is going to eat them. So that's playing with them. Ne, 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 kish, kish, right?
Yep.
That, and that's exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing here. That's ki his al, asher his alauti b'Mitzrayim, as understood by Rashi, that Hashem is playing. Hashem is playing. By the way, the Ramban learns his alauti similar to Rashi, but not exactly the same. The Ramban writes his alauti means Yosheb b'Shamayim Yischak. That God is laughing. That's like today's Daf Yomi. It's just that, right? It's not mocking, but it is just simply laughing. Now, I'm not exactly sure.
What's the difference? I'm trying to understand the subtle difference.
I think mocking means that, you know, I could laugh at something that I find funny, not because the person is a nebuch, a lo yutzlach, who doesn't have it. Mocking is because the person is a nebuch or a lo yutzlach. The person doesn't live up to, right? Laughing could just be, it's funny. It's like TV's bloopers. Ha ha. Right? Like the truck backs up and knocks down the...
lack of involvement by the observer.
Exactly. Right? So I think that's a slight difference between Rashi and the Ramban, and I think this difference has to be carried over in terms of the way we tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm inclined that according to Rashi, you have to say it over in a way that you're making fun, or you're proving out, you're proving the folly of the Mitzrayim. That's, now, Rashi is probably making a subtle diktuk point over here, and I hope I don't bore you too much with this. But olalti b'loshen kal and hisalalti are very different. You see, a hispa'el is a reflexive term, right, in Hebrew. I could say hislabashti, that I got my... Rabbi Einstetter has this in the Sefer on Chumash. He's the father of the Rebbe in Eretz Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So like, right, he has a... He writes English beautifully. He is Bidi Da'ehu, Rabbi Anser's father. I don't know if I'm allowed to tell you it on tape. I just said it on tape. Anyone who doesn't know who Bidi Da'ehu is, it's a really good book that he wrote about. It's like a novel about this guy who went to Princeton from the yeshiva in Glendale, which is supposed to be Lakewood. And whatever, he ends up meeting a young woman and like... becoming romantically involved with her, and like basically they're like telling each other shtiklach terah the whole time from Rav Soloveitchik on Chumash. It's like a really weird book, but so yeah, that has nothing to do with anything. So Rabbi Einstetter points out in his Sefer that he thinks his alautis are reflexive generally. Now, reflexive terms are like this: I did it to myself. Hislabashti. Right? I could say that hilbashti, I dressed you. I could say I got dressed. That's lavashti. Hislabashti means I dressed myself. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I am both the subject and the object. I dressed myself. Now, when we speak about the Ribbono Shel Olam, His Alalti B'Mitzrayim, what does that mean?
I amuse myself.
So it can't mean that I did it, right? It can't. You can't have a reflexive that I did it to myself, because over here there's an object of Mitzrayim. So it can't be a normal hispael, meaning I did it to myself. It can't be the same as olalti. So therefore, Rashi has to say it doesn't mean I did it, because the Rebbe Shlom is not doing it to himself, but instead it means I mocked them. That's what forces Rashi to reinterpret the term.
Unless you say Masiyah de Tava Bayom Vatam Shira, that is part of God doing it to himself, and that's why you're going to have the uncles and others who are going to explain it that way.
Possibly, but for some reason Rashi doesn't want to go in that direction, right? Maybe because the Ribbono Shel Olam is doing this, like he says a few times in these psukim, to show how great he is, right? So it's not really the Nebuch and the Krechts that, oh, I feel bad that they are suffering. Oh, okay.
Look at Rav Hirsch, because that's the sort
of
thing that
he would... Yeah, that's right. So we have to... If you could look in the Rav Hirsch... I only have the Hebrew Rav Hirsch. I don't have the... apparently the English is better than the Hebrew.
It's more extensive.
Yeah. This was a mistake when I was buying Sfarim. Okay, let me talk about one more pasuk. So Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they say, how long will you refuse le'anos? What does le'anos mean?
To
humble yourself. That's the Artsko translation. That's what Rashi writes. Kitargumo le'iskano, to be humbled, v'hu migzeras oni. It's like poverty. A poor person is humble. How long are you going to refuse to be humble, right, which is to be like poor, etc.? That's the way Rashi learns it. The Ibn Ezra takes le'anos differently. Ibn Ezra writes that le'anos means to be responsive. How long will you refuse to respond to me?
Somebody like
owner. Right, owner is to respond. I heard this week, I went in to talk to Rabbi Rubanowitz, the Breuer's Rosh Hashiva, about something totally random. So like I go in to talk to him, so at the end he's like, let me just tell you a vart. So he tells me a vart that he was learning with the Talmidim in Breuer's Nefesh HaChaim at the beginning, and he realized that the word anova, which is humility, being humble, comes from the same shoresh as responding. And he feels that the Nefesh HaChaim is saying this, and the idea is that a humble person will respond to others. A person who's conceited will ignore others. That was his insight. So, okay, I think if that's correct, so Rashi and the Ibn Ezra are really saying the same type of thing. A poor person tends to be more responsive. A poor person in the sense of a humble person, like we're saying over here, is kanoa, right? So you're responding to others in... You're more responsive to other people. You recognize what they're doing. You're not totally taken by yourself. Okay, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if there's that much more to add. Okay, so then the Torah speaks about, I'm going to bring arba. The arba will eat that which remained from the barad. It will eat all the trees hatzaymeach lachem min hasadeh. Now here's the problem: the Torah said that barad destroyed the trees. So how's arba destroying the trees? You ever thought of this one?
Mm-hmm.
So the answer might be in the Torah itself. I was thinking about this. Maybe the trees are tzoymeach lachem min hasodeh. The trees are just beginning to grow now.
How much time was there in between the Makkos?
That's a great question. So the Ramban over here comments that maybe there's a long time and the trees grew, but he says that can't be because Chazal said there's only a year for all the Makkos together.
Okay.
And if there's only a year, so there's not much time, but there might be enough time. And the Ramban really notes this. I'm pretty sure it's the Ramban.
It's a forest fire that's fresh growth.
It's fresh growth. And the fresh growth is getting destroyed. Right, there's fresh growth right after the forest fire. Exactly. Im kein haya barad b'chodesh adar b'ashano ha'hi, the Ramban writes. Lo mikodem l'chaim. And, right, and the gefen, lo heinetzu ha'ilanos, it didn't grow yet. L'kach ha'makosav, right, that it destroyed the branches of the trees, but it's the Esav HaTzoymeach, says the Ramban. The Arbe, ki ba Arbe ba'ochal pircheyem, v'hishkas ha'kosh, l'hishir lahem perach otzitz, etc. Meaning it's the stuff that's just beginning to grow, because if this is the beginning of Nisan, the end of Adar being in Nisan, that's when stuff is beginning to grow.
And it's part of the Hisalalti, because it teased them with fresh growth.
Beautiful, right? Gevaldik, right? It's fresh growth, and like people are getting excited, chick-chack, boom. It's all knocked out. Again, obviously there's much more to say, but I just wanted to learn a few Rashis with you. And Yashikaya, thank you for coming. Okay.